Pam pam param pararam pam 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 param 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 param. What's up, you greasy pigeons? Welcome to the beauty sauce. Let it roll, baby, let it roll. Woo! Fucking love this jam, boy. I hope we never get rid of this as the gold song.
Ooh. You make Ricky's dreams come true.
Woo! Welcome to the beauty sauce, everybody. Ricky Raleigh here. Just want to say right off the top that this is the first episode under the Chop Comedy Podcast Network that is Comedy Here Often. I had sort of talked about them the last couple weeks. We got the deal done, so I've officially joined with them. And I think it's a great opportunity, guys, to help grow the podcast. They're based out of Western Canada. And like I said, the whole network has all comedians that run podcasts, which is great because, you know, I think there's a lot of Canadian comedians, and the consensus is that in order to make it in the entertainment industry, you usually got to go down south. So, and you can't do it here in Canada. So, props to them to make it happen. It seemed like a great fit. So, I'm fucking thrilled. Part of that there. Got some exciting stuff coming up with that. So, yeah, we took a week off last week. You know, had a lot of things going on. Actually, I went to Niagara Falls with my lady. And can I just say something about Niagara Falls? You remember when you were a kid, so if you grew up in, you know, southeastern Ontario, it's a pretty big tourist attraction in general, but people just fucking, like, ate that shit up when you were a kid. Like, you loved it, right? Like, you had to go to Marineland, they got Clifton Hill. The more you get older, you're like, man, this place, my fuck, this place is a money grab. You know? Oh my god, I think I went to, like, get ice cream and a freshie, and it was like fucking $70 for me and milady just to have a fucking lunch and look at the view. And then you park there too, and it's like $30 an hour or something like that. I'm just like, oh, like, I think when you get older, you realize that this is the place where parents bring their kids when they're just about to fucking divorce. You know what I mean? Or it's the place where, like, dad takes the fucking kids when he's trying to, like, prove to his wife that he still gives a fucking shit, you know? Like, yeah, I'll bring him here to fucking Niagara Falls. So what do you think? You still okay the fact I'm a fucking raging alcoholic? I don't know, buds. I still have my quarrels about a place or, like, any type of tourist attraction that's basically revolved around kids. Just don't think that they should be calling the shots, you know? We had a comedy club there that I used to perform at a few years back, and I remember I would sit there on Clifton Hill, right, trying to hand out comedy tickets. I'd see little kids just acting like fucking shits. I remember quite vividly, actually, this one little kid, he's a little bit of a chunky monkey, right, and he just fucking knocks an ice cream out of his cousin's hand. And the mom comes over, and she's like, hey, I swear to God, if you do that, like, 3 or 4 more times, we are not going to IHOP. And I'm like, what the fuck? This hunky-dory little fella fucking runs your show. That's all I'm saying. Anyways, yesterday I actually went out and I started filming a little bit. Felt nice, actually, you know. Kind of brought me back to the first year of doing this where I would really make these, like, productions. And, you know, like, just the effort that I put into it. So a couple of nights ago, I filmed some with me and a hockey stick trying to do a fucking trick shot. And then yesterday, filmed some stuff for the buds. Playoffs are coming. I want to get some of that juicy ass content. I felt good. Yeah, I went down by Lakeshore in Toronto, right down by the water, and smashed a few. And oh my god, I was already fucking pickled at like 3 or 4 o'clock. And there's this one scene where I actually had to shotgun right in front of the Hockey Hall of Fame. And wouldn't you know it, I fucked the take up because I forgot how to shotgun for a second. So I was going right up instead of the hole. I was going up the right where you actually drink the beer, right? And then I was like, fuck. So you go back down, buy more sauce, do that again. And oh, I think before the game even started, I was probably about like fucking 7 or 8 beers deep. And I don't know, for some odd reason, around like fucking 9 o'clock, I thought I was going to have a heart attack, right? Like just a fucking grip or just stroke out. So fell asleep, woke up, took a couple greasy shits, and I'm like, okay, I'm off the sauce now for a bit. I'm serious this time, buds. I'm telling you, when you feel like you're about to have a stroke, that just really does it for you. Speaking of which, I'd filmed this. I've gotten really, like, active on my social media lately. Just, like, all of, like, Instagram, TikTok, and all that. Just pumping out content, right? Trying to get to the next level. And I do love reaction videos, so fucking love it, right? So I see this one where this girl's talking. She says, what's something that makes you nervous that it shouldn't? And immediately, the first thing I thought about was smoking weed. Because a lot of people think I smoke weed, but I don't because of all the grippers. 100%. I used to be a hoot and a half to smoke weed with. Like, I do all sorts of dumb shit, you know, like fucking take a shit in someone's car and, like, you know, have the French film it, whatever. But there was one time where I smoked with my bro, actually, and I remember that it was just like instant heart attack, panic attack, whatever you want to call it. And what I did was, I left the house and I started doing fucking laps around Napanee, Ontario, like literally running running around, you know, thinking like how sad my parents are going to be when they find out I'm fucking dead in the morning. My dad's going to wish he came and wore my hockey games. And when I came back, my bro asked me, like, why were you running around if you thought you were going to have a gripper, right? And I said, well, I wanted the run to kill me and not the weed, so... When you're doing that, you realize you probably gotta fucking lay off the chiba smoker reefer, you know? Anyways, that's a quick little warm-up for you beauties. Oh, I want to talk about hockey. Obviously, trade deadline will be tomorrow. And as per usual, we're seeing a common theme where, I don't know, I mean, there's probably gonna be deadline deals. I don't doubt that, but maybe some of the bigger trades happen, like, leading up to the deadline. And it might make sense, right? You know, like on deadline day, you gotta fucking fax in those trades and shit like that. And sometimes, you know, GMs are talking to multiple GMs. And it just doesn't make sense to try to get everything done on the actual day. So not surprisingly, we've had a few. All right, probably the biggest one I would say would be the Islanders and Devils deal, which happened earlier in the week. Now, I think Sweet Lou, Uncle Lou, whatever, completely robbed his former team. So when all said and done, this was the deal. So the Isles ended up getting Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from the Devils. And the Devils agreed to retain half their salaries for both players. And basically all they got was a first round pick. And I don't know, I was just a little surprised about that. Like, you know, Kyle Palmieri, he has gone 30 tucks in a year before. But, you know, over the last couple of seasons, he was, you know, hovering around, like, 25, getting close to 30. So, it's a guy who can rip corn, you know what I'm saying? So, I was just a little surprised by that. I mean, especially the fact when you add Travis Zajac, right? Like, the leader that he is. He's basically your ideal third-line center veteran stud. That, when you're talking about players like that description, that's exactly what Travis Zajac is. So I don't know. I mean, Palmieri's numbers were a little off this year, like a little bit lower. So I don't know if that factored into it. But hey, you know, Sweet Lou, why don't you steal the fucking Devil's sweet ass virginity while you're at it? Because I think Kyle Palmieri is definitely a good replacement for Captain Anders Lee, who is out for the season. So the next one that we had was fucking three-way, baby. Just like those greasy nights at the Stringer conventions. So basically, when all said and done, Columbus ends up getting the first round pick. Tampa Bay gets David Savard at a reduced rate. But Columbus agreed to retain salary. And Detroit just got thrown in there. So they get an extra fucking pick and they retain salary too. So this is some of the fucking chess stuff that people were talking about heading to the deadline. I don't know, maybe you see more of this in future deadlines too. Basically, it's if a team has a lot of cap space, they could jump in to like a deal that would be happening between two teams, and then they get an extra draft capital, which is what the Red Wings did. And it probably helps teams like, because now they don't have to retain as much because Detroit agreed to do so. But the real winner from all of this is the Lightning because of the fact that they had the Sai retain twice, and now they got a stud right-handed shot defenseman on their already fucking sick D heading into the postseason. I mean, I don't know, but when you already talk about Victor Hedman probably going to win the Norris again, you got Sergachev, McDonough, Chernak, and then Savard. I tell you, man, these fucking defending champs are scaring me a little bit. Which, by the way, how fucking convenient is it that Cooch is going to come back for the Lightning right in time for the playoffs? I'm telling you, Ricky, conspiracy time with Ricky Rowley here on the Beauty Sauce. You knew they were in cap hell going into this year. Everyone knew that there was no way anyone was going to take Johnson off them and be like, hey, fuck you, Lightning. You got to figure this out on your own, right? So I don't know. Maybe they can pawn him off to Seattle. But they're sitting there being like, yeah, we're like fucking almost $10 million over the cap. And conveniently, Cooch gets injured for the whole season. I know. But the GMs, realistically, like, he's probably looking at the team and he's like, we actually don't even need Cooch. That's how sick our fucking team is. I mean, who wouldn't want him? But what I'm saying is when you're as fucking deep as the Lightning, they're probably just like, okay, all we need to do is get in. We're in that blender division anyways. You know, for someone who doesn't smoke weed anymore, that's a pretty well thought out fucking conspiracy plan right there. Okay, so the other one is the Florida Panthers. And hey, I've pumped these guys up a lot. I even admit it. I said, I don't fucking get it. I don't know how they're doing so amazing, but they went out and got Brandon Montour, and that obviously makes sense, right? Because, you know, their stud fucking Ekblad went down, so you just had to find some sort of replacement available. Now, he doesn't replace him, obviously, but, you know, he can play top 4 minutes, so it's at least a start. There was a couple years ago, I remember the Leafs, where, like, they were, like, seriously looking at that guy. How many people here were saying that? And you could say that you didn't, but you fucking thought about where you were like Willie Nylander for fucking Brandon Montour. I remember I was even thinking about that. And not to mention, he did go for a first-round pick when he left Anaheim to go to Buffalo. So, obviously, this guy's got some game. Now, he went for a third-round pick now just to show you how bad Buffalo ruins your fucking hockey career. I don't know, man. Him and Eric Staal, right? Like, I was originally thinking at the beginning of the season that they could get, like, you know, second and a first for those two guys. But, yeah, you're not going to get that fucking return for a team that might not even win fucking 10 games this season. So, so yeah, there were a couple other smaller moves. I don't know. Connolly got shipped out to Chicago. Seems like that was a bit of a cap dump for the Florida Panthers. He wasn't really having a great year with the team. Colorado acquired Patrick Nemeth from Detroit, and Devin Dubnyk. I think those are kind of just depth moves. Dubnyk, I'm guessing that they wanted a backup Tenney with fucking huge playoff success and probably a huge dong because he's 6'6". And also, sneaky little Dubas goes out and gets fucking Riley Nash from Columbus for, like, I think it was like a 7th round pick. Or something. Now, the kid obviously makes 2.75. A lot of people were fucking shitting themselves when they heard that. But obviously, he's on the IR. And even if he does play, it won't be until the playoffs. So they actually still have like $5 million cap space because of the fact that Freddie Anderson got put on IR. So kind of like the Cooch situation. Maybe they're looking at Jackie Campbell. And they're like, you know what? Fuck it. We could throw Freddie on IR. And, you know, get that extra $5 million cash. I'm just saying the kid plays chess, okay? Kyle Dubas, by the way, not yours truly. Kind of wonder that, too. I'm just going to say this just in case this ever hits, and then I'll be like, yo, I fucking said this first out of anybody. But what if it's like a load management situation? We're looking at some guys who maybe aren't exactly, you know, unfit to play with their injuries, but, you know, they have nagging injury, so they're saying, like, hey, let's do, like, a fucking load management like the NBA, you know, you go to fucking Peeler Bars and just throw fucking cash, you stay home, you know, for a couple of weeks, we're pretty much in, we don't need you, but we do need extra cap space, so we'll put you on IR and then bring you back once the playoffs start. Boom! You fucking heard it here first. If this is correct, what I'm saying, the kid's a fucking genius, and I deserve to be GM of the Bud Zenos. Okay, and lastly, I'd like to touch on the Habs. They made a move by getting John Merrill, but also coincidentally, they waived fucking Victor Meddy. And I'm just like, is anyone else just a little surprised about that? Do you remember when this kid came into the fucking show? I mean, people were just raving about this guy. But he was a fourth round pick, and he ends up playing in his second year. And then had a pretty impressive World Junior showing later in 2018. So, I mean, mind you, the kid didn't fucking rip a goal until his third season. But I'm just sensing a little bit of a fall from grace. Or the management and the organizations just had it with the kid. I don't know. Because, I mean, I know this year for restricted free agency, he basically got fuck all. Like, they just said, like, yeah, 1 year deal. They didn't give him any type of bridge or anything. And then he doesn't start playing. And now he's on waivers. So I don't know what's next for Victor Meddy. I mean, he's still young. He's like, what is he, fucking 22, 23 years old? So, Jesus, I don't know. Maybe fucking Pretty Boy Dubas should take a run at the kid. Kind of nuts, though, I will say. I mean, the amount of quality people that have been put on waivers this year. I know I've talked about that in previous episodes. But I find that GMs are becoming more strict now, you know? And it's probably because of the fact that, you know, it was a flat cap and everyone's kind of, you know, feeling the squeeze a little bit. So, you know, like a guy like Ghost for the Flyers or Gardner for the Canes. Fucking Shaky Jakey Gardner Expressway. I mean, these beauties probably would be able to stay on a team if the cap was like $4 or $5 million higher than it is right now. So, anywho, the trade deadline is tomorrow, and I think it's going to be another fucking awkward day at TSN. No, those guys are beauties. I know they like doing the little fucking skits in the show all day and shit and working the phones and eating lunch together and putting and all that shit. But let's not deny, it's pretty fucking awkward until like the last like 30 minutes of the whole trade deadline show, and then these trades just start fucking pouring in. I remember when I was in elementary school getting my fix for fucking trade deadline show, right? Like, one of the teachers was an actual hockey fan, so I think they had, like, a TV in the office, and then you'd start hearing, like, throughout the day, like, oh, fucking, I remember the huge one was Keith Tkachuk when he got traded to the fucking Blues. Oh, my God, that was a huge trade deadline splash right there. Fucking Rob Blake, who remembers that one, eh, when he went to Colorado, or I don't know, even Joel Neuendijk for fucking Jason Arnott. That was another classic. It would just be so gosh darn exciting when you'd hear, like, at school and just get a heart on the fucking boys are going to be playoff contenders. I remember the Leafs were very active at the trade deadline when I first started watching hockey. Fucking Owen Nolan, we got, like, Brian Leetch and shit like that. I should have fucking won those years, too. But I don't know. I mean, now it's a combination of, you know, as I said earlier, like, movement happening before the deadline. We got so many insiders that fucking break the information before you even know it. My buddy fucking Shane O'Brien called the Montour trade like a half an hour before it even started. You know, I'm pretty sure he fucking called that before the fucking GM even knew he was doing the trade. And not to mention, probably the number one reason why there isn't as much movement is because the salary cap sucks. Ruined everything. Can you imagine the buzz around fucking Toronto right now if, on top of the fact that we are now number one in the league, but we are able to also add, like, fucking Hoffman, Foligno, Iafallo, Granlund, Ekholm, Lawton. No, I don't know about Taylor Hall, though, but but, you know, like, there would actually be a buzz around fucking Toronto, you know what I'm saying? We'd be, like, at least a little bit happier that we're not allowed to fucking leave our houses again. But it's the way it goes, you know, you got the cap there and stuff, they like the fucking parody. Which, another thing, too, I mean, the standings are pretty close. I mean, not like Buffalo, they're just stinky. But, you know, for a number of teams that kind of now suddenly squeaked in, so you're not exactly sure if they're going to be, you know, make it. Like, do you remember it was maybe like a month ago where they're talking about fucking Ekholm from Nashville going to Philadelphia. Oh, how the tables have turned. In a matter of a month, you know, Nashville is now all of a sudden a playoff contender, and because they're actually in, and Philly's the one that's on the outside looking in. So, I mean, it just, yeah, it happens so quick, right? Which actually brings me to Nashville. Like, I'm not entirely sure, you know, that fucking TSN trade bait board. I don't really fucking throw whoever on there. But Granlund and Ekholm are both on there. And I don't know that those guys even get moved, because now the Predators are in a position where they could actually, you know, make the playoffs. And I would say the same thing about, you know, Hoffman and Scott Laudin for Philadelphia. It's like, what do you do, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of people who think that Hoffman could get dealt because St. Louis right now, they might have just gone back in, but they're struggling a little bit, right? Like, they're fucking below 500, and they're going to have to duke it out with, like, Arizona, right? Like, who would have thought? But now you got Mike Hoffman there, and what do? He's a pending UFA, and not only are St. Louis dogging it, but their GM's kind of had a history of fucking trading guys, even when they weren't, like, relevant, but perhaps still in a playoff spot. And I believe that that was Shattenkirk, that they actually got a first-round pick, and they ended up making the playoffs, and I believe Stastny was the other one. So, obviously, Armstrong's gonna have to look at this pretty fucking critically, right? And he's like, well, I don't know. Do I take the chance and keep Hoffman, or can I trade them? Because there's a good chance if we run into Colorado or Vegas, we're fucked. So I don't exactly know how that's going to get played out. I think he still probably gets moved. And the other one's Scott Laudin. Now, this guy's an interesting dude. Like, I personally would love him on the Buds. Like, I was always a Laudin fan, right? He's, you know, a rugged forward. He's your third line center, that's basically what he is. And I don't know if he's getting some sort of fucking hometown discount in the offseason, you know. Like, I would take him as a third line center, perhaps over Kerfoot, who makes $3.5 million. I'm a huge fan of Laudin, by the way. But once again, you know who's also a fan of the fucking Laudin is the Flyers too, right? And you know, they're fighting for their playoffs lives right now. Oh, fucking stroke time. I knew it was gonna happen. 22-minute mark. But, yeah, anyways, you got Laudin, right? So, what do you do with him? He's a UFA also. But, my fuck, he's a great hockey player. So, yeah, look for him to possibly be on the move tomorrow. There's a couple of no-brainers, you know. Obviously, Columbus are in fucking selling mode. They shipped out Savard to Tampa Bay. So, Foligno, he's you know, their captain. And they're not having a great year. Probably Torts is going to get the fucking boot, in my opinion. But I think he's a guy that can compete really well. I mean, he did against the Leafs. Like, he fucking shut us down last year when we fucking dogged in that five-game series, right? So, you had a guy like Foligno, maybe he's like the missing piece for a team, right? But he's not going to get you a lot of talks, but he's got leadership, and my fuck, him and his brother are just workhorses. Then we got a couple more on Ricky's trade bait board. We got Alex Iafallo. Fucking hard name to say, but this guy's kind of interesting, right? Like, this guy was never drafted, and he kind of came into the Kings organization and has actually been quite productive for them. I mean, the last two seasons, he was, like, on pace for 50 points, right? Like, last year, there was only 70 games, so he wasn't able to make it. And then this year, if it was a full 82 games, he would be able to. So, this guy's kind of a little sneaky for how valuable he might actually be tomorrow. Pending UFA and only $2.4 million cap hit. It actually kind of reminds me a little bit of Blake Coleman last year. Remember how fucking crazy everyone thought Tampa were? Because they traded two first-round draft picks to get Coleman and Barkley Goodrow. But, I mean, combined, they only made, $2.8 million. So this guy, you know, he's a $2.4 million cap hit, and he's a 50-point guy. So that's fucking premium right there. So I definitely think that there's going to be a lot of people interested in him, and he will for sure get moved because, you know, the Kings are slipping. Another interesting one, fucking Jonathan Bernier. I've seen this guy pop up on their radar a little bit, eh? There was a time where I was, like, really worried that his career was, like, done. And I say worried because I had a soft spot for him. just because of the fact that all Italians in Toronto, when they're playing for you, fucking hate them, right? Like, just even fucking Freddie right now, I'm just sitting there being like, my fuck. Even Jack Campbell, he just won his 11th straight game. I'm like, yeah, but did you have to give up fucking 5 goals last night? So goalie in Toronto is just so hard. But once they leave, you start realizing, like, man, we were fucking too hard on him. So I was worried. But, you know, playing in fucking shitty-ass Detroit, and he's doing not bad. So he's now on there, too. So I don't know. Maybe a team takes a run at him for, like, fucking backup 1A, 1B situation. But the one I got to talk about, and this one's really interesting, from Kingston, Ontario, Taylor Hall. So this guy... really interesting stuff. Like, the amount of shit talking I've heard about this guy over the last little bit is just uncanny. And for the record, I'm not even defending him here. I'm not saying he doesn't, you know, deserve the things that people are saying, but it's like, you know, I hear I'm missing curfew. We all know fucking Obi don't like him very much. Then you start hearing, like, other people, like, saying that this guy is one of the most selfish players in the league. And then I even heard fucking Frank Saravalli say that there were some rumors out there that the only reason why Halsey went to Buffalo on a 1-year, $8 million contract is because that was the only team that was actually fucking interested in him. Now, I don't know how true that is, and maybe they mean, like, at that rate, like, only Buffalo was going to give him $8 million. This guy certainly is on the receiving end of crap talk. And, you know, I don't know much about him. Like, I'd fucking seen him a few times. I remember, because, you know, he's from the Kingston area, right? And I remember when he first got his fucking contract, rookie contract, he went down to fucking Stages. Stiggies in Kingston, the short version of it. And he's going around fucking, you know, grabbing fucking pieces of ass on the dance floor. So I guess maybe he is a little selfish, right? he couldn't keep his hands to himself. Couldn't help himself, quite frankly. So I don't know if the ass grabbing at Stinkies translate into his, you know, professional career. But there's a lot of people saying that they're a little worried about acquiring him at the deadline. But that's a deal you have to make if you're Buffalo. Like, there's no universe where you can convince fans that you're going to win fucking only 10 games in a season. Maybe they don't even reach 10. But yeah, we still held on to a 1-year Taylor Hall that was UFA. So I don't know. If I'm the Leafs, I wouldn't fucking budge, though. I don't think so. You know, I Dubas is a fucking wizard. He can make those things work with the numbers. But I don't think I'd take him, buds. Because I also just don't think that's the type of player the Leafs need right now. Like, I'm more into, like I said, like a guy like fucking Scott Laud. I think a UFA target in the offseason should be Barkley Goodrow for Tampa. Like, I love, and he's a Toronto kid. Like, those are the types of guys I think the Leafs need more of. Not a fucking, you know, one-dimensional player. Like, because, you know, we got fucking Willie already. You know what I'm saying? Now, I actually just took a break to drop a steamy deuce. And when I was checking my phone, I just saw the Leafs fucking acquired Nick Foligno from the Columbus Blue Jackets. So yeah, Ricky's just breaking it down here for you right now. We gave up a first round pick to the Jackets. And as I was saying earlier on this pod, I was saying that a guy like fucking Nick Foligno is a workhorse. He was the captain of the Blue Jackets. So yeah, that fucking Jarmo Kekalainen fucker, whatever, like, he did good for Columbus. I mean, he just got 2 first round draft picks from Tampa and Toronto over the last, you know, 24 hours, and now fucking the Leafs got Nick Foligno. So Ricky, needless to say, he just went from 6-12 with that move right there. Woo! Let's go, baby. Never broken a trade on here before. So let's get out of that Canadian division and let's go, baby. Let's bring the cup back to Toronto. Stanley Cup parade, you're out. Coming to you soon with yours truly, Rick Rowley. So I'm going to call that epi for today, guys. Hey, listen, if you're just browsing around you know, sauce, a follow. Go out there and give me a 5-star review because you're a fucking beauty. I hope you guys stay safe. Happy trade deadline day, you greasy pigeons. Bye.